Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Hey, where the fuck are you?
Yeah, literally. What is
we
the red
line?
We need
some cigars and shit.
I wish we could. I almost brought weed in, and then I was like, this place is too prestigious.
Yeah, they're going
to... Everyone in there was like, not to be rude, but it looked like a lot of Karens who would like give like dirty looks to weed.
For sure. They were about to pull the shit on you that you did a fucking West Side's listening party with the bomb.
Damn. I was so fucked up. I forgot that happened when I woke up the next morning.
Dude, that whole day was a hassle. I fucking got there. Dude, I waited in that line way longer than I fucking should have.
Yeah, you should not have waited in the
line. Dude, my fucking feet were hurting so bad, dude. Like, I was like, bro, I just want to sit down. And just please, yeah.
I don't know how I got it back in.
It's crazy that it took that long. Like, And I walked in with Benny, so it was easier to do it like that. But that fool didn't walk in until later, and I was like, fuck, dude, like, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to, like, get up in there and, like, say my hellos and, you know, fucking get a drink while I can. I'm like, you know, I'm not in town for long, so... But yeah, dude, fucking...
For people listening, we were at the West Side Gun album listening party at the Gold Room in New York City, and I was tripping on mushrooms. And everyone was smoking in there.
Were you on shrooms?
Yeah, I was on shrooms. And everyone was smoking in there. Yeah. And I was like, well, I want my fucking bong.
Yeah.
So I went out to the car to grab my bong. And when I came back in, they thought it was a bottle.
Yeah.
And they
heard
banned
them
me
that
for
shit.
Life
yeah,
until I talked like, my way out of it.
I was like, what the fuck? I was like, dude, it's just a bong. But I'm like, yeah. I was like, damn, homie is really trying to bring in the whole...
It was a big
one. The whole setup, yeah, it was. It wasn't small either. It wasn't like a bubbler. This shit was like a fat ass, like bong. Yeah, it's just funny. It did look like a bottle, though, because the way you were holding it looked, yeah, it's fucking funny. Yeah, I've been there. You saw that whole bullshit about when I got arrested earlier this year?
Oh, yeah, what happened?
So I was at a bar in, San Luis Obispo, which is a little north of LA. It's probably like 4 hours north of LA. And I was there with a group of my homies. I was there for my homie's birthday, and everything was cool. We were fucking shooting the shit, we're drinking, partying, whatever. And some dude fucking pulls up on me and asks me for a lighter for a cigarette. We're in the outside patio, and that dude had a bottle of UV with him that he apparently snuck in. And I don't fucking know this guy. So he's talking to me, and the security fucking, like, bum-rushed that fool, dragged him out. Because I was talking to him, they thought that we were with him, and they were like, no, you guys got to get the fuck out. Like, you snuck in alcohol in here. And they tried to put me in a fucking chokehold out of nowhere, and, like, shit hit the fan. We started fucking, took, like, three security to get me out. They, like, dragged me outside the whole fucking bar. And then I made, like, rash decisions in the end, so...
Did everything work out? Is it
well, I'm not in jail.
Am I allowed to ask you any more details about it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's over. I mean, technically I'm on probation right now, but
are you?
I am, yeah. So it was they tried to charge me with possession of a deadly weapon, even though I didn't try to like fucking do anything crazy.
What was the deadly weapon?
I mean, this is what's even fucked up is the penal code is like one big umbrella. Mm-hmm. So they were trying to charge me with a gun charge, but it was a fucking knife. But the knife was longer than their, you know, like law regulations. So
you're on your British shit.
Yeah.
Hello, I got a knife.
Dude, yeah. So,
pokey
and then,
pokey.
Yeah, dude. And shit was crazy. It was honestly bullshit. It wasn't that big a deal. They made it way bigger than what it was supposed to be. But then when I went to my court date, the DA, it wasn't that significant of a case for him. Mm-hmm. Motherfucker didn't even show up. So the terms of my probation got like dropped down even more. Like I was supposed to be on probation for like 9 months. They wanted me to do like, I don't know, 30 hours community service. Well, originally if I didn't like beat that shit, I was looking at 6 months to a year in county.
That's so dumb.
It's crazy.
For bouncers.
Crazy,
if any bouncers are listening, I apologize.
I fucking
but
hate
what
bouncers.
Type of person becomes a bouncer? Usually dumb, usually strong.
Dude.
It's usually like the big, dumb, and I hope none of them listen to this podcast. Know what? There's a type of person that's a bouncer.
Yeah, they're
and they
fucking
aren't making
brutes.
Good decisions.
I feel like bouncers are failed cops. You know what I mean?
They
so
really
like,
have that same feeling.
Yeah, like. I fucking hate bouncers, dude. Cause it's like I know they're doing their job, but I'm not down with that rude shit. It's like, look, I'm asking you nicely, and if you can't, you know, give me any answer, can you please bring someone out who can give me a fucking answer? Cause like I wouldn't be standing here giving you shit if it was for no reason. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, like the bouncers at Westside's listening party. Like, obviously, like. And then homie who was acting, the fool with the braids, apparently that fool owned that spot. And he was asking the homies at the very end, like, yo, what's up with those hoodies? And I was like, fuck you and your hoodie. Like, you ain't getting no fucking hoodie. Like,
yeah,
like after fucking coming at Leia and fucking 40 like that, I was like, you guys are you're out of your fucking mind, dude. I'm like, how you not have the audacity to ask for a fucking hoodie after, like, coming at us crazy like that. Like, you're fucking crazy, dog. Fuck you and your motherfucking hoodie.
People get any little power and, like,
they love to abuse it.
I feel like it's really easy to get on in anything. It's hard to stay on. Because a lot of people get it and then just fucking...
abuse
it. It goes to the head, you know?
Well, that's why they say, you know, too much of anything is dangerous. I feel like if you give someone a little bit of power or a little bit of leverage, it starts to get to them. It's like little man syndrome. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like me, I don't like being in a position of power to tell people what to do. I don't care about that shit. Like, I know a lot of people that love to be in that position. That's why people love to be like bosses, because they love to tell people what to do. But I feel like there's more power in being a leader than being a boss. And I feel like I have that leadership mentality, regardless of what it is. Like, even if I was a bouncer, I'd be like if I was security, I would never use the authority to, like, you know, abuse. I honestly,
I've talked to hella bouncers who are like, I just want to fuck someone up tonight.
Yeah, they're always on some, like, I'm trying to get into some bullshit. I was like, but why? Like, why is the appeal to, you know what I'm saying? Like, why do you want drama? Like, just, like, that's, you're looking for trouble. And, like, a lot of security get away with dumb shit because, you know, they have the legality to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I've met some security that are cool as fuck. Like, you know, my homie who does my private
I'm
security.
I'm never going to be allowed into a bar again.
This
is going to get shared on the Facebook
dude,
group.
They wanted to ban me from that bar.
The gold room?
Yeah, that spot. No. They wanted to ban me from the spot that I got arrested at.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
They wanted to 86 me or some shit. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck that shit means. I'm like, fuck you and this motherfucking bar. I'm like,
you probably are the. We should. I didn't even know introduction on where we are, what we're doing.
You're
probably the only artist on probation who has shit.
I know, probably. Yeah, for real, dude. I mean, it was funny because I was kicking it with Shepherd Ferry in Kentucky a few months ago, and we were talking about it. This was before I even had my court date, and Shepherd has been arrested like 20 times, and he's got probably the most felonies out of any artist who ever lived. Like, the fool is facing like life in prison for graffiti, and in no way, shape, or form was they trying to like one-up him or anything. And he stops me, we're at the airport, and he stops me mid-conversation, and he goes, look, Isaac, I'm not trying to, you know, be rude, but your little arrest has nothing on my fucking 20 arrests. He's like, that's dog shit compared to what I've been through. And I'm like, dude, I know. Like, I know. Like, I'm not trying to one up you at all, dude. That fool's been through some shit. He said he got locked up, and he has diabetes. He's super diabetic, and he was in a holding cell, and he asked the security. He was like, please, like, can you bring me some water or something? Like, I'm diabetic, and I'm gonna fucking pass out. The dude was like turning green, and finally, the guard gives him attention and walks to the door. And Shepherd's like, oh, thank you. Like, I don't mean to bother you. I'm sorry. I'm just like, I'm literally about to die. fucking cop like fucking rocks him in the fucking jaw and like the fool knocks down and he closed the door and he's like, shut the fuck up or next time it's gonna be worse. I'm like, damn, bro. A fucking artist. Like, we're talking
graffiti's
about...
Graffiti's so crazy how it's looked at versus art.
Well, you know, Shepard has been very adamant about doing artwork on spaces that are very public, in the sense of, like, he's a taxpayer. So he, in part, owns this property. So therefore, he should be able to have the freedom to express his art form on this said property that he part owns as a taxpayer. But it's not like a fucking house or like a business. It's like an abandoned building or scaffolding that's like wood or some shit, like, you know what I mean? Or
yeah,
or like a freeway, like a highway or something that you, as a taxpayer, you in part own. So I mean, he does have a point. But yeah, that fool is, dude, they try to give him in it's funny, he actually got his like crazy ass lawsuit here in Boston. They were saying the Boston like police, they were charging him with like a felony for every sticker that was up, and there was like hundreds of stickers up.
That's yeah. So
crazy. Yeah, Shepard's whole story is out of fucking control. You should watch his documentary on Hulu. It's really fucking good. It's called Obey Giant. It's bomb.
So can you give the, you have a piece up outside, and it's funny because you were talking about how you didn't want to paint on a building.
Yeah.
In this.
Yeah, exactly. So
we're in
Stockbridge,
and it's Norman Rockwell week.
It is Norman Rockwell week. So I spoke to the owner of the Red Lion Inn a couple months ago, and I had asked her if there was any type of monument or mural honoring Norman Rockwell. And, you know, I grew up on Norman Rockwell as an American artist. I mean, I feel like, you know, if you don't know who Norman Rockwell is and you're an artist here in the States, it's kind of fucking crazy, you know. I mean, his work has garnered the covers of magazines and shit for fucking decades, you know. He's been, he did all the Sunday Post magazine covers from like the 30s up until the 60s. So he's a big deal. And, you know,
did that turkey painting.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite paintings. I saw that painting, the original, last night. It was fucking insane. And, you know, so I was really surprised that there was nothing here in Stockbridge. This is his hometown. His house is right across the street, the house that he died in. And, you know, so I said, aside from doing an exhibit here in the hotel, why don't we do a mural honoring him and we display it, you know, publicly for everybody to see. And they wanted me to paint on like the side of one of these houses. I'm like, dude, no, you fucking retarded. Like, these houses are hundreds of years old. I'm not gonna dare touch one of these. I'll look fucking stupid to the community if I painted some bullshit on one of these houses. So I said, no, let's just build a fucking wall that we can transport and move around, and I'll paint on that and we could display it wherever we want. So that's what we did. And then I actually painted it in New York, like Rhinebeck, New York, or close to Albany. So I painted it there, and they transported it all the way over here. And right now it's on display. Hopefully the museum picks it up, the Rockwell Museum. If they pick it up, that'll be a big deal, because, you know, they're pretty well connected, and they get a ton of visitors, and they have the largest collection of Rockwell originals. So that would be dope.
It's a huge museum.
Yeah, and it's sick. And, you know, it's crazy that there's not a single mural of Norman Rockwell here in his city.
That is wild.
It's like, we're talking about the person that, you know, documented and preserved the culture and Americana during the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. You know, the hotel here, they have like 200 signed prints from Rockwell throughout the whole hotel. You know, this hotel is almost 300 years old. It's older than the country itself. You know, so there's a ton of history here. And to be able to fucking have a painting up is pretty dope, you know.
Yeah, how did this all come together? You have an exhibit.
Yeah, so I also have a featured exhibition in one of the spaces here, in about 20 one-of-one prints. You know, a mixture of works from my show last year and new work that I created this year. That's going to be on view until March, and they'll probably switch it out with another artist. I'm the second artist to exhibit like artwork here too. The first artist is Ralph Steadman. His exhibit is upstairs on the second floor hallway. So And then, so the how this all came about, I did a group show in Kentucky for the Kentucky Derby. That was, it was during the week of Kentucky Derby, but it was a show honoring Muhammad Ali in Louisville. And my homie Eddie Donaldson, who, you know, knows the Muhammad Ali family pretty well, he curated a big group show. Shepherd Ferry had did a massive mural of Muhammad Ali that week. So it was a bunch of things happening at once. And then Ralph Steadman was also doing an exhibit during the Kentucky Derby, and his, you know, quote unquote manager, his name's Michael Cash, kind of linked up with my homie Eddie, and they kind of merged the exhibits together, and it became this one huge exhibit. I was a part of it. I had a piece in there, the portrait I did of Ali with the third eye. I had that piece in there, and he saw my work. He knew my work from, you know, shit I do with West Side and the whole Griselda umbrella. So he was like, yo, can you put me in contact? He reached out to Eddie. He's like, can you put me in contact with Isaac? You know, I want to work with him. So he reached out to me and he said, hey, I have a pretty strong relationship with,
Hello, hello.
Are you videoing?
Yes. Yeah, it's like, you're okay.
Just make sure.
Just take that clip.
Make sure.
Yeah. Is it recording?
Yeah, yeah, we're good. Right.
Yeah, so, you know, he was like, I want to get in touch with Isaac. So he reaches out to me and he says, I have a pretty good relationship with the Red Lion Inn Hotel. It's, you know, a super historic hotel in Massachusetts, almost 300 years old. Dude, I didn't know that, like, six presidents stayed here. Like, Roosevelt stayed here before. All kinds of musicians have stayed here on tour, and he was like, you know, I work with Ralph Steadman. I'm a big Ralph Steadman fan, especially having grown up on Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, Hunter S. Thompson, all that shit is dope. So I was like, damn, that's sick. So, you know, he was like, why don't we get you to do an exhibition here and have, like, work on view for a couple months? And came out here a couple months ago, met with the owner, met with Michael. We talked further more about what we could do, and then that's when I came up with the mural idea as an extension of, you know, doing an exhibit here, which was dope. It worked out. I mean, the fact that it's Norman Rockwell week and I have a mural up, you know, everybody here is, there's going to be thousands of people passing through during this week. That's a ton of impressions. That's publicity I probably couldn't even pay for. So that's dope, but
well, it's also just like a cool experience to
yeah
have.
I mean, you know, I wouldn't have had another opportunity to show my work in Massachusetts otherwise, and now I've built a relationship with the Norman Rockwell Museum. They gave me a private tour last night, and, you know, I got connected with the directors, the curators, and they're even talking about acquiring some of my work. So that's a big fucking deal. Yeah. For an artist, especially an artist like me, who, you know, I didn't go to, like, a fucking major school and shit. I'm kind of doing everything solo dolo, very guerrilla like. So, you know what I mean? It's dope. But it's crazy because Michael works with Post Malone's dad really closely on, like, some side businesses. So Post Malone's dad helped funded this project, like paying for materials and paying for transportation and shipping and paying for the boarding and all this stuff. So, you know, shout out to Post Malone's dad, Rich Post, and Michael Cash, who put this together, and Sarah.
Wait, their last names are Post?
Yeah, that's his last name. Yeah. Post. Do you know how Post Malone got
Post
his name?
Post Malone. Yeah. His last name is Post.
Yeah. Austin Post. Yeah. Do you know how he got his name?
No.
He was apparently like looking for like an alias, and he found like a rap name generator, put in Austin Post, and it came up with Post Malone. So that's what he started to go by.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but his last name's Post. So
your name's like a good, like, artist name.
I mean, yeah, it's funny, dude. My last name has, like, deep-rooted fucking... It could be fake. Yeah.
Your name, Isaac Palayo, could be fake. That
well,
sounds
it's,
like
it's,
a fake name.
It's funny because it's pronounced Palayo, but because West Side pronounced it Paleo in, you know, size 42, everybody just assumed that it's pronounced Paleo. But it's funny because...
Wait, so that's not the pronunciation?
Well, it's technically like...
Did
the
West Side Gun change your lineage? Your name is never going to be the same.
Well, it's funny because growing up in, like, you know, predominantly suburban, like, white areas as a kid in elementary, you know, whenever I got, like, awards or some shit, they would always say Isaac Paleo. So I was used to that already. Mm. But I think it's because the A isn't, like, what is it? There's no, I don't know what it is. There's no, that little line above the A, it's mm-hmm. so that people know that it's like, it's pronounced Paleo, not Paleo. It's not a long A. So it's hard for people to tell, but it's really either or. It's Paleo, Paleo. I go by both. The Hispanic, like Latin pronunciation is Pelayo. So that's technically, like, if you hear me in interviews, I'll say Isaac Paleo. But if I'm just talking amongst the homies and shit, it's like, oh, Paleo. It's,
well, I'm glad I know, because I didn't even know that. I feel bad that
No, you don't. It's
you know,
not
when
even...
you've known someone hella long and you've mispronounced their name and then you hear someone else say it?
But that's
the
thing.
Like, oh, you said the wrong name? You're like, oh,
you're
fuck.
Not really mispronouncing it. You're only pronouncing it how Americans would pronounce it. There's several ways to pronounce it, and it's like I care more about, like, the spelling than anything. Yeah. Like, I hate when people misspell my last name. They do it all the time. Like, people will spell it Paleyo and it's Pelayo. Mm. So, or they'll, you know, Pelleyo. Like, they get a ton of different spellings. So I think the spelling is what matters most. But yeah, dude, my fucking last name's got a lot of deep-rooted history. Like, my family used to put together a family reunion every year called Peleada. And they did a ton of research on, you know, our lineage and our fucking ancestors and shit. And allegedly, our ancestor is Don Pelayo, who was the founder of the Kingdom of Asturias in Spain. Asturias, Spain is northern Spain. And he is attributed with starting the Spanish Reconquest.
Wow.
In 737 AD. It's like over 1,000 years ago.
Do you feel a connection to that?
If you see the picture of him, like the painting, his portrait, dude, he looks like my ancestor.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. Like, yeah, it's insane.
My
so,
famous ancestor sucks, and I feel like I don't want to tell people who it is.
Who is it?
It's Robert E. Lee, who was the head of the Confederate Army.
What the fuck? Yeah. Are you serious?
Yeah.
How do you know that? Do you know that for a fact?
I've been told that I'm the seventh generation.
That's
of
fucking
him.
Mom or dad's side?
Mom's side.
That's fucking insane. You're all like, yeah, I'm related to fucking Hitler.
I don't want to. And there's pictures of me as a kid dressed up as a fucking Confederate with a
damn.
Big white beard.
That's crazy. what were the feds? Blue or gray?
It was gray.
Gray? Yeah,
I think
okay.
It was gray.
Damn, that's fucking crazy.
But I don't want it. That's not something I'm, like, proud of.
That's an insane thing to, like, be connected to. But I'm sure we're all connected to some crazy-ass shit.
Someone sucks in everyone's lineage.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's got some relative, and you're just kind of like...
I have a rap podcast now. He's just rolling over in his grave.
For real. It's fucking funny, dude. Damn, that's crazy. Yeah, I would love to know for a fact, like, if I can... I mean, I've done my 23andMe, but that only gives you so much information.
I don't
like,
trust that.
I mean, it's pretty fucking, it's pretty accurate. It's
I know people
scary.
Who have found siblings that they didn't know about.
Yeah, life. Oh, dude, I've there's like so many people I'm related to. It's crazy. But, I mean, we have a massive family. In my family, there's Diaz, Corona, Munoz, Mayfield, Paleo. So, you know, I don't know. Being a Paleo is dope. I like, you know, there's a lot of history behind my last name. So
that's cool.
Yeah, it's sick. But...
I have the most, like, white last name.
Buck?
Buck is,
that's
like, you can't get...
fucking white-ass last name.
You can't get
dude.
More, like, hick.
Imagine, like, yeah, like, honestly, like, Sam Buck sounds like a fucking cartoon, dude.
People think it's a stage
damn.
Name. Bob,
and what's your full name? What's your middle name?
Samuel Charles Buck.
Damn, dude.
Which shortens down to Sam Chuck Buck.
That sounds racist as fuck. Dude, that's, like, that name comes with... heavy racism. Like,
it does. I have to be on the defense, right?
Samuel Charles Buck. Damn, dude. You sound like a landowner.
It's not the worst name in my family.
But it's funny because it sounds like a heavy American name. Like
super
Samuel
American.
Charles Buck. It was Sam Chuck Buck. It's pretty fucking funny.
My dad's name is Dick Chuck Buck.
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah, Dick Buck.
Wow.
That's damn. A porn star name.
Yo, they were not fucking around with y'all's names. But I like your podcast name. Bucked Up is dope.
Bucked Up is
a pretty clever name. And I think had it been anything else, it probably wouldn't have been as funny. You know what I mean?
But no, Bucked Up works.
Buck is a pretty... Have you ever gone just by Buck?
No. That seems like I have to have a southern accent and some dip in it.
I mean, that'd be pretty
hey,
crazy.
My name's Buck. Yeah, just, and then just spit on the...
Just fucking got fat ass fucking tobacco.
And a fucking... And like one of those long...
yeah, a little fucking... fucking pieces wheat. Of grass, yeah, wheatgrass,
wheat
yeah,
grass.
Buck. That's a crazy. I don't think I've ever met anybody named Buck.
My uncle's name is Donald Buck.
Oh shit, that's pretty crazy. Yo, you got some white ass fucking names in your
it's
family.
It's one letter off from Donald Buck.
Fucking Donald Buck, like Donald fucking Donald Dick Samuel. Like Jesus Christ, dude. Yeah. Your fucking y'all's last name, y'all's whole name sounds like it just came right off a plantation. That's fucking crazy. What's your mom's name?
Jennifer Freeman is my mom's
name. Oh, shit.
Maiden.
Yeah, Freeman's a pretty popular name. I see Freeman a lot.
Yeah, but it's not really a white person name.
Do you know where it comes from?
Well, yeah, because the slaves, they gave them the name Freeman.
Is that where it comes from?
Yeah, that is where it comes
Hi.
From. Hi. Hello.
We're going to have to pause it.
Welcome to the Bucked Up Podcast.
That's crazy. I told them not to put a disturb sign there. All right, never mind. We'll splice it up.
No, I'm keeping that one. He didn't say shit.
Yeah, didn't look like he spoke any English. I was kind of a weird timing to come in talking about
he's
slavery.
He probably heard the conversation. He's like, I'm ending this.
Yeah, he's just like, like that out. Meme from fucking Vince McMahon. He's just like, yeah, dude, that was a weird time.
So
weird timing for him to walk in. But yeah, that's crazy.
Freeman, no, but because.
But
you know how it's like they gave like Smiths. That's how the name Smith came from.
Yeah, but like,
but I don't think my family got it because we were freed slaves.
That's what I'm saying. Is how the fuck did your family get it if y'all weren't freed?
Like, well, probably the Robert E. Lee thing. They were like, we're gonna go the other way.
Damn, that's
we'll
fucking,
go to the opposite.
Yeah, that's crazy, dude. Because every Freeman I've ever met is white.
Really, Morgan?
That's crazy. Morgan is. Last name is... I totally didn't even fucking think about... I've never met Morgan, so I didn't even think about
him. Him and I on a first name basis,
yeah.
Being related and all.
I've met...
That's my grandfather.
I think I've met like 3 Freemans before, and they've all been white.
Really?
So, yeah.
I've met a lot of Freemans, not many of them white.
That's crazy that didn't dawn on me.
Isn't it crazy calling celebs by their first name? Morgan just
Morgan?
Sounds...
Yeah,
so,
Morgan.
Imagine calling Morgan Freeman Morgan.
Morgan, what's up?
Yo, that's
yeah.
Crazy.
I mean, I said what's up to Don Cheadle recently. I was like, what's up, Don? And he just walked right by me. Yeah, I like it. Yeah, it's crazy. Dude, Fools looks... He's getting old, too. Don
really?
Cheadle. Yeah.
He's making that Marvel money.
Well, shit, he better be, because he's getting old as fuck, dude. It's really sad what's happening with Bruce Willis. He's like completely retired. Dude, he sold his likeness. Like he sold his face so that AI can still like production companies can use AI to use his identity so that he can still like make money.
I mean, not a bad move if you're an actor. If you really think about it, if you're going to die, why wouldn't you have income for your family? Because you're no longer going to be able to work.
I mean... Yeah, it's just kind of...
Unless they have you saying some real horrible shit.
Then that's the part that's
you gotta
like,
have a no-no word list. Like,
yeah, you're like, I would never say anything like that. Like, the fuck? Yeah, dude. Well, that's what's kind of like, you know, the music, all this AI music shit. There was a song with, like, I think that was going around, and it was like, is this really Kendrick Lamar or not Kendrick Lamar? And there was debate. People were like, Kendrick would never say anything corny like that. And then apparently it's like really him. So it's like, you can't tell the fucking difference.
It's
now.
Like the Kanye West shit. I hear Kanye West AI songs that are better than the Christian shit he's putting out.
I mean, well, it's because it's probably, it's pulling material from like what he used to write about or sound like. So
how do you feel about AI art?
I don't know. I think it's I think it could be a useful tool as far as, you know, pulling ideas and allowing the internet to kind of, mash up, you know, a bunch of keywords that you, and you just, if you don't know how to mash them up together, I mean, I for me, I don't think that I would ever utilize AI to help me, because a lot of what I paint from is like historical stuff, stuff that is hundreds of years old. That's what I pull my inspiration from. I don't really, AI is like very futuristic, and I don't see myself going in a futuristic route, whereas I'd rather take historical things and put a modern flip on it and sort of like allow that to be the future. Where instead of like, you know, like everybody's going in this future high-tech direction where it's like, no, I'm gonna create a new renaissance, taking inspiration from old things. I mean, that's how the Renaissance even started. You know, the Medici family wanted to take Roman and Greek values and bring that back to the fore with art, literature, tapestry, and architecture, and all, you know, that was the type of stuff that kind of created the foundation for a society and was like the cornerstone of a metropolis. So they wanted to revitalize that. They took something that was old and made it new. Why can't we do the same thing? Everybody is so interested in like new, like fresh, like brand new. Like nothing is ever brand new. Everything is just a reiteration of something that's existed already. You know what yeah. I mean? I mean, nothing ever is really invented these days. Everything is just reinvented. It's just who's going to do it the best. You know what I mean? So I feel like that's more so my take on it. Like I don't see myself using AI to improve my career. I think it's, you know, there's some people who probably can benefit from it who have like an artist block or something, or I don't know. I think it's dangerous for some reasons too, because it's like.
But you can always kind of tell. Even as me, and I'm not an artist, I can be like, it's like when you watch Avatar, you know it's CGI.
But I'm talking about more so like even this deep fake shit, you know, it's like, dude, you can get a video what looks like the president of the United States saying some crazy shit, and you're not going to be able to, it's going to get to a point where you're not going to be able to tell the difference. It's going to sound like him, look like him. They're going to edit the video to make it look like it's a cell phone taking video. Like, you know what I mean? It's going to be used and abused for sure. And I think that's with most things today. Everybody seems to be, like quick to take something and really abuse it. You know what I mean? Like nothing is ever
to run it into the ground.
Everything gets ran into the ground. I mean, look at like
look at Marvel movies. Look at Marvel. We're talking about Don Cheadle. Like
I was gonna even say like the streaming service. Look, you know, when streaming came out, it obviously was an innovative thing and in another way to connect people with music. But look how it's hurting the artists now. So. Yeah. It what started off as a good idea ended up being a fucking, you know, a fucking shitty scheme in the end. And now there's a bunch of musicians that are getting fucked out of royalty money. You know, what is it, like 0.001 cent per stream?
Yeah.
So if you're getting thousands of streams and you're only collecting a couple thousand bucks, it kind of sucks. You know what I mean?
I was thinking about this because that's a real thing. But also think about how easy it would be to farm views if you got paid a cent a song.
Yeah, I mean,
like it kind of has to, and I'm not saying it's good, you're but right. The pricing now is, it kind of has to be so low because like if like this company came to me and mm-hmm. they were like, you get 60% of all the advertiser money.
Yeah.
60%. But they don't have that many people watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, okay, but I'd rather get a way smaller percentage. Like, think about how many artists are put on. Like, bro, one of your songs just came up randomly on Apple Music.
No.
And that, not that I wouldn't listen to it, yeah, but it's like, oh, that's a stream that you got, like,
yeah,
for randomly. Sure. It's yeah. like, it's a weird, because I do think you should be paid more. But then, like, that video I got 22 million views, I got $0 from it through Instagram.
That's pretty fucking shitty, dude.
Isn't that crazy? I could get 22 million views and $0.
Well, it sucks because Instagram cut off the whole creator tool thing where you're getting paid. I think I, the very first reel that I put out, I made like $300 and that was it. I never saw anything close to that. It was like $10, $15, some shit like that. It was just like not reaching the mark. But the problem is with Meta is they want you to pay for ads, and the ads don't really convert.
They really don't.
They don't. They don't. Like, I think...
you should... if I'm being honest, people listening, you should find a page that you like and pay them for promo.
Yeah. I mean, the best way for word to get around is having relationships with people that are willing to share your shit. Like, I wouldn't have been able to get where I'm at now paying for fucking ads. Westside was my best promo ever. And it was like raw promo. It was him tagging me all the fucking time. So that was like more impactful than just paying for fucking ads. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, but imagine if I had 30 more West Side Guns sharing and tagging me shit often. Dude, I probably would have over 1 million fucking followers by now. How I don't is kind of crazy to me, considering how much I've been like tagged and shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's pretty insane. Like,
but you do have more followers than most artists, I feel.
Well, no. There's artists with hundreds of thousands, even millions with followers now. I mean, I don't really care about follower count. I care more about how many people that are following me are actually engaging like, with engaging, what I'm doing. Yeah. Like, how I'd rather have fucking 1,000 followers, no blue check, but every single one of those fucking followers are buying.
Well, I think about that. I have less than 10,000 followers, but I get over 1 million impressions a month, every month.
Which is crazy.
Which is like, it's weird that it does it, you know? It's
crazy. Yeah, that's same thing. Dude, my followers, when I was doing the tattooing in like 2020 and 2021 was like my highest engagement. Dude, I was getting millions of impressions.
Well, you want those TikTokers that get views for nothing. Well, not nothing, but like they're just like hot.
Apparently, they were able to beat the algorithm working with the company that they were able to get their content engaged with like 50% of their following. That's why they were able to get so massive so quick. And that's why, like, if you went to their photos, they would get like 100,000 comments. Because Instagram apparently only feeds about 10% of your following your content. So they were reaching 50%. 50% of 4 or 5 million followers, that's a lot of fucking people. Like, of course you're going to get a ton of engagement. During that time, I was getting millions and millions of impressions. I'm talking about hundreds of thousands of people looking at my story. I mean, I think my most liked photo was like 100,000 likes. You know what I mean? Like, it was crazy. But I don't like think of that shit and I'm thinking, oh, I need to get a certain amount of light. Like, fuck that shit. Who's buying shit? You know what I mean? What's crazy to me is that I have over 100,000 followers, but very few of them are buying. Less than 10% of them are buying.
But couldn't that be that a lot of people appreciate your art, but they can't afford it?
That's definitely a big aspect of it. But I think it's the economy right now too. Also too, I think that if Instagram was to feed more of my material to more of my followers, then I would have more collectors. Because only a small percentage of people are seeing that shit. Yeah. I get people that will hit me up and be like, dude, I didn't see you post this anywhere. Do you have any extras? I'm like, no, I fucking sold out. Like,
you know how rappers, the only rappers that are really popular right now are the ones that are putting out so much music that it's like, you can't even listen to it all. Man. Like Youngboy's the biggest streamed artist right now, and he puts out 40 song albums every couple months. It's like, for Instagram, what I realized is if I just flood the market, but you can't ever stop flooding, because then they'll pull your engagement. If you just keep flooding, then they'll keep giving you a little bit more and more engagement.
It's like the Russ effect. Russ is a good example of putting out content. I mean, he looked at it like this. He's like, look, if I can't get a record to, you know, be a hit, then I'm going to put out 1 million records that are going to equal to one hit. So it's he's playing the numbers game. He's like, if I have to put out 1 million records in order to, you know, get my numbers up, then you're going to have more of a variety. That's why, like, when I do art shows, I have big shows with a lot of work, because it gives people like a variety of stuff to look at. And, you know, luckily I, you know, sell a lot of it, if not most of it. So that gives me an advantage, where some people will just, you know, paint 10 to 15 pieces and there's like, you know, there's, they all look too similar, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I think having big projects and constantly putting a lot of projects out, yeah, you know, it, you're feeding your not, I try not to oversaturate my market, but put enough out where it's like, it's feeding the machine, you know?
But do you think there is such a thing as oversaturation now?
Yeah, for sure. Even within art, yeah. Because if you put too much shit out, it's going to get overwhelming and people are just going to be like, all right, he's got too much stuff. Like, the point, too, is to sell things out. Like, that's why I think Amiri became so big as, like, a fashion brand, because it was limited edition stuff and they were plugging it in certain boutiques. And it was hard to get. But now they're kind of, like, Amiri seems to be getting a lot of flack and getting a lot of hate because apparently it's too easily accessible. Everybody can get it now. There, you know, there's Amiri stores all over the place, and you know, it's like the price of it is going up too quick, where people can't afford it and everybody's wearing it, so they're like, oh, all right, well, fuck it, I'm not going to slave away to wear something that that so many people have, and it's already like too expensive, you know what I'm saying?
But then, okay, I'll look at someone like, shout out Kip DeFug. Mm-hmm. He paints all the time and just keeps putting out, and you can see his progression. Mm-hmm. And how good, I mean, he was always good, but he didn't paint at all. He just, mm-hmm. he started one day, mm-hmm. and now he is where he's at.
No.
And that was kind of like, it's cool for someone like him to see the progression, and he kind of, you know, he floods the market with it.
Well, Kip is also at a stage where if he's building up momentum right now, so if he keeps, he's going to see, it's kind of like, you know, when you have like less than 10,000 followers, it's easy to see your following go up very quickly and you see the growth very fast. But once you reach like, you know, 10, 20, 30, like it starts to look like slow progression because it's so much momentum, you can't pay attention to it all. You know what I mean? So he's, yeah, if he keeps flooding the market with material the way he is, he's going to see a lot of growth right away. But then at some point it'll get to a point where it's like, it's going to be hard to see any growth. Like that's like with me, like, you know, with my following, like I lose followers just as quick as I gain them. And I'm, you know, I sell shit out just as quick as I, you know, fucking put shit out. You know what I mean? So it's hard to kind of like see how fast things are growing because there's so much of it already and it's, you know, it's a bigger machine.
How does an artist like Norman Rockwell get big back when he was starting?
I mean, well, Norman was commissioned by the Sunday Post here in Massachusetts to create all those magazine covers. I mean, he had that like license for like 3 decades. He created all the covers for the Sunday Post for 30, 40 years. I mean, he did collaborations with Corn Flakes, like Kellogg's. He's done collaborations with all types of people.
But what was he doing before that? Like, how does he get
I think
that?
He was always an artist. I don't know too much of my history on his past.
I just mean,
past.
Like, old artists. How did they get on? Like, well, before it's, the internet?
I mean, there's different... Every decade is different, or every century is different. If you want to go back 500 years ago to like Da Vinci's times, artists then were you know, they had a patron who, you know, constantly commissioned them to create portraits for them, and you know, they were commissioned by the church to create murals and these frescoes to storytell, you know, or commissioned by dukes and fucking cardinals and shit. But they can only be commissioned because people of that time who wanted art, they had to be able to afford it. Poor people didn't have art. Art was a rich person's fucking thing 500 years ago. It still is now, but art is more accessible to most people now because of, you know, making art commercially and making it you know, making different types of art that's more accessible, like prints, posters, and shit like that. But artists have always made a living by being commissioned. Rarely did artists make art and just sold it. That didn't happen until later. That didn't happen until 1800s, maybe late 1800s, early 1900s, where art galleries started to arise and people started to become art dealers and sell art versus, you know, a noble person or a person of status finding an artist that they love and appreciate and they commission them. I mean, like when photography came to the fore, it didn't really, you didn't have a demand to like commission a painter to paint a portrait of you and your family. You just had a photographer do it. That was the point of paintings back then. You know, pre-photography, it's like, okay, I want you to paint a portrait of me. I'm the fucking king of Spain and my family. And, you know, that's why like the king of Spain had like, I forget his name, fucking Bartholomew or some shit, or Balthazar or whatever his fucking name is. But there's like fucking portraits of him every decade. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like that was the documentation. So he needed to commission artists to be able to do that. Or look at the Vatican, all that art.
Yeah.
Art of that time was commissioned to bring these religious stories to life. I don't know if you've ever been to Europe, but so if you go to the Vatican, you go to like the Sistine Chapel, don't give a fuck if you're atheist or not. You're not going to walk in the Sistine Chapel and not feel the power. But that's what art back then was supposed to do. It was a visual representation of the storytelling. They needed to instill fear and hope in the eye of the viewer. You know what I mean? So when you go in these churches and these chapels, you feel the power because of the fucking art, not because of it's a church. You know, have you ever gone to a bland ass? Look at churches now. They look like malls or something. They look too modern. There's like it's weird. It's too futuristic. But you go to a church back then and you got a fucking painting of Jesus Christ on the cross bleeding and fucking being ripped apart and
the stained glass shining down.
And it's like fucking, it looks like heaven. It looks sacred. And then someone's playing the fucking organ and it's like you have a choir. It's like, dude, you wouldn't dare question God or faith in that time. So I think like artists today now, you know, it's as things have progressed commercially and there's been a demand to commission illustrators, I think illustrators and fine artists have blurred the lines because there wasn't people who were making a living off of their art as a fine artist, but they were making a living doing illustrations, say for books or for advertisements or magazines and stuff like that. So, and then graphic design came around. So, you know, all of those things sort of changed the way art was monetized or commissioned or even collected or perceived, you know. So there's all these different aspects changed about art. Art today is crazy what art's become today. Now it's like paintings are selling for fucking millions of dollars because art only accrues more value over time. It doesn't deplete in value. Art is the only industry that'll outlive a recession. Recessions don't affect the art world. They just don't. Especially when artists are dead because there's no more of it. They're not making more art. So all that's there in the world is all that's left. It's like Bitcoin. If there's a fucking 100 Bitcoin, then that's it. Like, that's why they're worth that much, you know? So that's how art works. And obviously,
how much is art actually worth that much versus tax breaks?
What do you mean?
Like, you don't get, there's no, isn't there like a certain, like when you buy through Sotheby's or something?
Yeah, well,
you don't have to pay the tax on, what is it? Not the capital gains tax.
Yeah, I'm not really sure on
how much of it is money laundering is all I want to know.
Yeah.
How much of the art world is money laundering?
Sure, a lot of it. I really don't know too much. I'm not that well learned in how taxes work with art. As far as Yeah, I mean, I would assume that it's...
Is that more just something that's put upon it than you're in it, so you don't really...
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm also, too, I've never sold my work for millions, so I don't think that I'm even in that arena. I've never touched that arena yet, so I don't know what that world is about. I know that art isn't like a regular commodity. It's not like a regular commodity. It's like it falls under a different type of bracket that... is squeezes through the cracks and you can write off gnarly taxes on it. It's kind of like nonprofits. It's like if you donate money or something, you know, you can write that off.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I would need to do more research on how that shit works. But yeah, I mean, there's people who will spend, I mean, it's like this. Imagine.
What is the most expensive?
It could be like this. If a person buys, let's say, $1 million painting and they donate the painting to like a museum or they give it to a museum to put on view for X amount of time and then they take it back and, you know, they got a tax write-off on it because they donated it or some shit. You know what I mean? So I think, I don't know what type of, where the, I would have to do my research on the legalities and how that stuff works. But yeah, it's crazy. I mean,
Do you know what the highest sold painting ever was?
Yeah, Salvator Mundi, which is controversial because there's a lot of historians that say Da Vinci did paint it, Da Vinci didn't paint it, but it was bought by a Saudi prince for $450 million.
That's crazy.
$500 million, most expensive piece of artwork ever sold.
That's wild.
Salvador,
do you think it's real? Mundi.
It's really fucking good.
But you don't know if it's Da Vinci.
It's really good. I mean, I've never seen it in person because it's hanging on this motherfucker's yacht, which is fucking stupid.
Yo, isn't the water going to ruin it? So cool. You better have that in the most protected fucking case.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, dude.
But the money isn't real to them. You see the fleet of Ferraris and shit where it's like the artwork
is crazy, you know?
Yeah. But to him, he doesn't care if it's real or not, because $500 million isn't that much money.
It's a really stunning painting. If Da Vinci did or didn't paint it, either way, it's a great painting. I think it's possible. It looks, because if you compare it to, say, like the Mona Lisa or Lady with an Ermine, technique is really fucking close.
But it's not...
It's hard to say. I mean, I'm not an art historian, and I don't... I haven't, like, looked at Da Vinci's up close like that, so I couldn't...
I mean, you did the Mona Lisa.
Yeah, but, I mean, I've also never seen Mona Lisa up close like that, so I can't really see the brushstroke. I can't dissect the layers. I mean, they did carbon dating, and they did a bunch of x-rays, and it's, you know, same paint is used, same time frame, so... There's some people that really believe that Da Vinci painted it. There's some people that don't think he painted it because they think he would have never painted, you know, portraits like that, or most of his portraits were at a profile, or, you know, Salvator Mundi is very straight on. So who knows? You know, it's hard to say. But regardless, it sold for $500 million.
Yeah.
So I want to believe that he painted it because... it's a badass fucking painting. Yeah, who knows? Who fucking knows?
Would you care if a painting sold for that amount of money in the future? Like, think about that. Hundreds of years after you die.
And I didn't collect?
You don't get a penny of it. But in the people, it's like, yeah, that's the most expensive painting. Like, do you think he would be happy with that?
I think I would be more pressed if, like, a painting of mine sold for a ridiculous amount of money after I died and... my family didn't see any of it. Me seeing it, I mean, it doesn't matter. I'm dead, you know, whatever. But if my fucking family didn't see a dime of it, I'd be like, yeah, I'd be turning in my fucking grave. But $450 million is crazy. I mean, think about how much that is in the 1500s during Da Vinci's time.
All of Europe.
Da Vinci literally. Like
you could have bought all of Europe with that.
Yeah, $450 million, that's... like probably billions back
trillions.
Then. Yeah.
Trillions. Are you kidding me? You could kill a person for a nickel.
Fucking, yeah, you just fucking shank somebody with a fucking sword.
You gave someone a chicken for rent. That was
fucking crazy, yeah. That shit would be nuts, dude. I mean, I'm very curious. I would love to see what, like, Da Vinci would say about what his work has done and what it's gone for. You know, all his work is, you know, pretty priceless. There's only been a few things of his that's been purchased, you know. I mean, the Salvator Mundi, his codex. I think,
$450 million is pretty priceless.
Yeah. Bill Gates bought, like, pages from his codex and shit for, like, $20 million or some shit like that. Yeah, that's some crazy number.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
Final thing I wanted to ask you about is what's up with, like, 101 prints?
Well...
So it means those paintings can never be printed again?
No. The 101 prints are just... Like, the prints that I have on view here, they're 101s because there's never been prints that size that looks like... Like, a 101 is
so
a 101.
So it's size 2, okay.
Well, like, a 101 is just a 101. There's only one of those. I'm not going to make another one. I'm not going to make...
But you could print those bigger, and it would be a different...
It would be a different 101.
Okay.
Or I could print make larger prints and a larger edition. I only made them 101s because it's simpler to have them here and they make them a little more valuable because there's only one. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, for example, let's say I took one of those paintings and made a 18 by 24 and I only made an 18 by 24 print, just one. Now it's a 101. It's even more valuable if I hand embellish it. If it's a 101 hand embellished print, like let's say I throw spray paint on it or I embellish it with pastels or something and sort of accentuate what's already there and exaggerate what's already there and I just touch it up, then it goes up because now it's a semi-original. Technically, it is an original because there's nothing else out in the world that exists that's like this. So, you know, one of ones are, I don't always make one of ones, but when I do, you know, I usually make them larger so they're more valuable opposed to making a small one of one.
Yeah.
There's really no point in doing that.
I just wasn't sure what the...
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny. I get people that will comment on my shit and they'll be like, why do you make prints of your work? Isn't that like, you know, like you're commercializing your work or some stupid shit? And I'm like, shut the fuck up. I'm like, because I'm getting paid. That's why.
Yeah, you're making the money.
Well, yeah,
off
I'm
of
like,
it.
If I
yeah.
sell 100 prints of one painting, that's 10 bands. Shut the fuck up.
100%.
When I sold, when I did the Mike Tyson prints, I sold 400 prints. That was a $40,000 print drop.
But I wasn't sure, like, if you had to sign a deal where you're like, I can never print those again. Type thing.
No. That's my decision. I mean, unless I
well,
like.
Well, that's good to know. Yeah. I don't know how the art world works.
Unless, that would only occur if someone commissioned you. Like, let's say someone approached me and they're like, Isaac, I can't afford this original painting, but I want a print of it. But I want a one of one print, and I want it this size, and I'll pay you for what it's worth. Cool. But once I sign one of one, that's the agreement right there that I'm saying, hey, there's only one of these in existence. There's only one of these that's ever going to be existing. Then I can never recreate this exact print at this size. I could reprint it smaller or bigger, larger edition, but I won't ever recreate anything that if there's an edition number signed, then that's all that there will ever be. That's like West Side dropping the Chris Benoit print again, or any of those prints, and then like dropping more of them when they're clearly already numbered like 1 out of 187. So it's like, what do you know? Like, you'd have to make the prints different so they differ from the first ones. Yeah. So, you know, it's like that.
I remember watching a documentary on Netflix a couple of years ago about a dude who would like fake prints.
You're talking about the artist that would forge famous paintings?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then do like crazy prints shit. Of that shit. So I always was confused about what prints really were after that.
So that guy, what he would do is he would like do his research on missing famous paintings. Paintings that just went missing from like, I don't know, the World War II and shit. Mm-hmm. And he would recreate them. And he was good with like, you know, like carbon dating and all that shit. So he would like buy old canvases, use old paint and like caught, like he was brilliant with it. Like he was able to fucking make whatever, Van Gogh's, Picasso's.
That's so crazy.
And he went to fucking jail, but made a lot of money selling fake.
Another paint. Artist with a fucking.
yeah, dude. Fucking straight criminal. Yeah, but art is one of those things that's just fucking, you know, it's federal. FBI gets involved with art, you know, yeah. Because art is the one thing that's like, it doesn't operate like the regular world. Art has its own set of rules and laws.
And that's why they use it for money laundering. Or like, I'm just, thank you for doing this, yeah, man. For sure, I appreciate dude. It.
Yeah, of course.
We were in the, what, the Red Lion Inn?
Red Lion Inn, Stockbridge, Massachusetts. I have
here until March.
Works here till March. Come check out the mural. Come check out the exhibit. The work's for sale. You know, come collect some art. Come check it out. Get a good meal. It's fun to stay here. It's quiet. It's quaint. It's historic. Almost 300 years of history right here. Yeah. Now I'm part of it.
That's dope as hell. And we got to do one in here. So now I get to be part of this.
That's right.
In some weird way too. I'm hot as hell.
It is. Fire. Yeah, we got to get fuck up out of here.
Peace out, everyone. Like and subscribe.
Yeah.